the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about our hero David and how David was a man after God's own heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, we come before you right now, thanking you so much, God, for today. Thank you for this opportunity to study the scriptures, God. I pray that our hearts will be in tune with your word. God, and I pray that this day we can celebrate God, and for those of us who don't have fathers, God, we can celebrate you being our father and celebrate how much you love us, provide for us, take care of us, God. And for those of us who are learning to be fathers, God, we can learn to imitate you. And I pray, dear God, as we study these scriptures and have great fellowship, we'll walk out of here with a renewed zeal of being the best we can be for you. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads, and I want to echo what was said several times. We have some amazing dads in this congregation. So I really appreciate all the brothers do and the way the brothers serve, and guys coming to church, being engaged, being here with their children is so inspiring. And I just, you know, as I think about Father's Day, I think about how everything I learned about being a father, I learned in the church. I was able as a college student. So if you are like, well, I'm not a dad, your training starts now. As a young single man, I was able as a college student to go to church and look at some cool men who actually look happy in their marriage, and they were taking their children to class, and they were having family dinners and just being engaged. And I learned that, you know what, that's the type of father I want to be. Because the beauty about it, we get to see different examples. You know, and for those of us, Angel and I have this talk periodically, for those of us who didn't have that ideal dad, we had a father, we can be grateful he gave us life. We're here. He didn't do much else. We're here. So we can say amen to that. And then on top of that, you know, we can learn what we don't want to do. We can learn what we don't want to be like. So life is about learning. Life is about growing. Life is about really figuring out how we want to be for God, because it's so easy to get paralyzed with what we didn't have to lose sight of what we do have in God. So, you know, that's how I look at life. You know, hey, we're talking about David today. We're talking about the type of man that David was. And you know what? I really want us to understand that before we fight Goliath, we have to train. And if you are a Christian, Goliath is coming into your life. But before God allows you to encounter Goliath, he allows you an opportunity to train, to grow, to learn. And that is the beauty of studying the scriptures. What's that first slide, Dale? A man after God's own heart. All of us should strive to have the heart of God. All of us. And you know, I know it's Father's Day, but this message is for all of us, because we got to keep growing spiritually. And it's so easy just to be a church member. It's so easy just to do the religious thing. But what we like to do here at The Path is encourage everyone, let's keep growing to see who we can become for God. So how does God train us? Well, let's look at this next slide here. Psalm 62. Now, David, if you know anything about him, he was a shepherd boy, and he was out there in the wilderness with a bunch of little sheep. And I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but they are like the dumbest animals on the planet. They just aren't that smart. And you know, that was David's job as the youngest one, to take care of the little sheep. And he could have had a disdain for those sheep. He could have said, oh, this is a waste of time. But he took that responsibility very serious. And you will notice, even as he was out there taking care of his sheep, this wolf showed up. But he just didn't say, well, good luck. He said, that's my responsibility. And you know, there's so many lessons we can learn from that. And of course, we know David for writing many of the Psalms, those Psalms that give us comfort, those Psalms that give us courage. You know, David wrote a lot of those Psalms. I want to look at the first one in Psalm 62 in verse 5. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He is only my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory, rest. The God of my strength, my refuge is in God. David learned to find comfort, encouragement, confidence, and peace from his relationship with God. He couldn't get it from the sheep. He wasn't with his family. He learned to find all those strong attributes from his relationship with God. As he was out there, he was like, you know what? I feel like God is with me. So he wrote about comfort. Then he thought about, you know, God encourages me. And this was long before Samuel showed up to anoint him king. He was already encouraged. He wasn't waiting on something amazing to happen. He was confident. As he approached Goliath, we see his confidence. And he was at peace in his relationship with God. Are you at peace today in your relationship with God? In those times when you are alone, you know, sometimes we don't like that alone time. We don't like that silence. We got to have music playing. We got to have the TV on. We got to have somebody talking to us. We can't deal with this silence. But, you know, there's some good things that happen when we are just in a quiet room with us and God. You know, I read this quote, if you can't stand to be alone with yourself, you have deep unresolved conflicts in your inner life. If we cannot be alone with ourselves, we have deep unresolved conflicts in our inner life. Because we always got to have somebody, instead of having that security, you know what? God is with me. It's going to be okay. Now, some of us are on the other extreme, and we'd rather be by ourselves all the time. And I'm not talking about being a loner and being a recluse from society, but I'm talking about having that time in your life where you realize it's really about God. And that was warrior training. And guess what? We are in a spiritual battle. Every one of us, we're in a spiritual battle. You may say, I don't want to be in a battle. It's the world we live in. There's so much going on. There's so much evil. I mean, this world is getting darker and darker and darker. But, you know, Jesus predicted that. Jesus said that. You know, because of the ever-increasing of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I mean, how cold? I mean, Angel sent me a clip of a guy who was on his phone recording himself, doing a Facebook something, live stream, and got shot while he was live streaming and died. He was on the phone talking, live streaming. Somebody ran out, started shooting. He got caught in the crossfire and got killed. So it's right there on the live stream. You see him taking his last breath. This is the world we live in. The world is lost. So why do we gather on Sunday mornings? And it's great to come together and encourage each other and to hug each other. But Sunday is simply an opportunity to refuel for the real battle. Because we got some work to do. We're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at that one. Dale, you can go to the next slide. That's too small, so make sure you have your Bibles with you. When I was at home, it looked really large. I said, this will work, but this is really tiny. Well, I do the best I can. How does God train us in obscurity and monotony? God trains us in obscurity. That means nobody really knows us. And in this era of social media where we all want to be liked and we want to tweet and we want to whatever, and we want people to respond back to us, and we send a message out there and we're like, hey, I want somebody to know I exist. I'm important. Well, the only ones that that cared about David was those little dumb sheep. I mean, that's about it. Even his family wasn't that excited about him. I mean, some of you may have lived in families where they're not that excited about you, because Samuel showed up and he says, hey, I'm here to anoint a king. And dad is like, oh, okay, come on. Oldest son, come on out. You're impressive. Samuel say, oh, he ain't the one. And then another one comes out. He ain't the one. He had a lot of kids. He had a lot of kids. And then it's like, Samuel's like, do you have anybody else? Because God's saying, these aren't the ones. Let's see. Yeah, that last one. That little one. He's out, but he's just out there with the sheep. Go get him. Go get him. And that is the one that God had chosen. In the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Men and women who are servant leaders of God have got to be prepared to experience all these marvelous experiences, these attributes. If you want to really serve God, and do I have anybody out here who want to really serve God? I mean, you really want to be a servant leader. You just don't want the title lead, but you want to serve people? Anyone want to volunteer for that responsibility? Okay, what do you have to look forward to? Being unknown. That's part of the reward for being a servant leader. You still with me? Oh, it's dissipating now. Being unseen. That's part of being a servant leader. Being unappreciated. Now, this is the toughest one. No, there's one tougher than being unappreciated. Being unapplauded. Do you ever feel like people just don't have gratitude? Do you ever feel like people don't say thank you? You ever feel like, man, just a little appreciation? If I could just get a little thank you? And there are some people who are, what's the terminology these days? Extra. They're doing too much. And, you know, sometimes as a Christian, we can feel like I'm doing too much. And you know why we feel that? Because we're not appreciated. We're unapplauded. And we're like, why am I doing all this? Why am I doing all this? But, you know, that's how God trains warriors, in obscurity. Because guess who saw what David was doing with those little sheep? But is that enough? Really, can we go about our day, do what we need to do, and get in our cars, go home, and feel at peace because God knows I did the best I could do today? On our jobs. I don't know if you ever had a supervisor that no matter what you did, it wasn't enough. Wasn't good enough. I remember one time I was talking to a sister, and she says, you know, at my job, I don't feel appreciated. I just don't feel like they value me. They don't thank me. I'm like, sister, it's called a job. It's called a job. Do you get your paycheck? But, you know, we try so hard to make sure our lives are making a difference. And really, I understand that, and we're in a different era now because now, as people, we want everything we do to be appreciated and valued, and we need those accolades, and we need to know, hey, you did a great job, you know. As I lecture and I talk to my students, that some of them just want that verbal confirmation. Did I do good? Do you think I'm a good student? Son, the grade reflects that. What do you think? But no, you have to tell. Of course you're a great student. You know, you have to go out of your way these days to really help people to feel good. And, you know, that's the era we live in. But for us as Christians, when we're in warrior training, we got to understand sometimes it's not coming from people. It's not. And if we are waiting to be appreciated by people, or sad to say, we're waiting to be appreciated by the world, we will walk away disappointed. But can we find that peace in God? Now, that doesn't say that we shouldn't show appreciation, and we should go out of our way to say thank you, and when people are nice to us, we should reciprocate. And I believe, you know, as being a light, that's part of our responsibility as Christians. We bring light, we bring salt into a situation. But I'm talking about when we go through these times of obscurity, we got to understand that's part of warrior training. Another part of warrior training is monotony. You know, sometimes life can be routine. You get up in the morning, you shower, you get dressed, get a cup of coffee, get your Cheerios, get in your car. You pray before you go on the job. You do your job, you go home, go to sleep, and before you know it, that alarm clock goes off again. And it's like, I just went to sleep. And you get up, and you do the same thing. You shower, you put on another outfit, you try a new cologne or a new perfume, you go another route to work, and then it's the same. You know, we are creatures of habit. We tend to do the same thing. Most of y'all sit in the same seat every Sunday. Now, you know there's no assigned seating in church. But we are creatures of habit. You know, that's just the way we're wired. I can anticipate who's going to be on the front with all that big hair in front of everybody. I can anticipate who's going to be back over here. I got the Amen corner over here with the Golden Girls, so I know what's going on over here. I mean, it's just like, we are creatures of habit. Have y'all not realized that? And you know, and sometimes we try to break out of the monotony, and you know, there are times you need to spice it up. Do something different. Try a new hairstyle. Do something different. Go to a new restaurant. Do something different. But the honest truth is, as a Christian, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to forgive. You try to help somebody, and you call it a night. Then you wake up the next morning, and guess what you get to do? You get to read your Bible. You get to pray. And then you break it up because you have a little small group meeting. And you get to go to a small group meeting with other people who are reading their Bible, who are praying, who are trying to help some. But that's really the Christian life. And it can be somewhat monotonous. And some people are like, oh, that sounds boring to me. But you know, the honest truth is, think about life. How many moments of excitement and zeal and enthusiasm, and life is one big adventure. Whoever said that was lying to you. Now, there are adventures sprinkled in there. But you get up in the morning, read your Bible, you pray, try to do the right thing, you forgive people, and you keep it moving. Say, wow, but that's the best that God could come up with? But I want us to understand that those hours of prayer, those hours of reading your Bible, those hours of learning to forgive, those days, those weeks, it all adds up. God is using that as a training time. He's preparing you. He's preparing me to accomplish something for him. And what we have to get comfortable with is what God is preparing and trusting that God knows what he is doing. Because the honest truth is, that next slide up the Dale, reality. Reality is coming. And God loves us so much, before we get attacked by that lion or by that bear, God says, I'm giving you what you need to be prepared. Says in Corinthians, God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But what I get concerned about, sometimes we want to skip the training. We want to say, I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to deny myself today. No. And we just want to do what we want to do. And then when the lion or bear comes out, we're not prepared. Brothers, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray. Because when she comes out, she may look like an angel. But that sister's a roaring lion. And she's going to devour you. You won't be prepared. Sisters, get prepared. Now, he may look like a teddy bear. Oh, he's so cute. You let that dude into your life and he turns out to be a grizzly bear. And he will tear you apart. You got to be, but see, when we are not reading our Bibles, we're not praying, we're not spiritual. And all of this is about spiritual development. It's kind of like working out. Who in here enjoys working out? But think about it. Isn't it kind of monotonous? Who in here enjoys the treadmill? But when you think about life, working out, What are the benefits of it, though? You feel great? Really? I need your workout because I don't feel that great afterwards. But okay, the brother said you feel great. What are the benefits? Are you doing it for a short-term gain? Right. For what the future could possibly be. And really, that's what God was doing with David. David spent hours and hours and hours in solitude. He had a life of solidarity. He had a life of monotony. And when that lion showed up and that bear showed up, David knew exactly what to do. He knew exactly what to do. And you know the deep thing about it? When Goliath came, it was no big deal. He wasn't overwhelmed. See, sometimes we're overwhelmed as Christians when Goliath shows up because we're not prepared. We're unprepared. All along, God said, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing you. I see down the road what's about to come. I'm preparing you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Stick with it. Stick with it. Come on. Come on. It's going to pay off. But then when Goliath shows up, what were the Israelites doing? Standing around looking. Who's going to go out and fight? Now, you know who should have led the way in fighting? Saul wasn't spiritual. He wasn't spiritual. He had the title of spiritual, but he wasn't spiritual. He had the appearance, and that's what God says. You know what, Samuel, from this point on, I want you to understand. Don't get caught up in the physical attributes. Don't get caught up in the outward stuff. Let's look at the heart. And God says, you can't see what I see. What was God trying to help us understand? People won't be able to see what he sees. And that's what should matter. Right. See, I got to do what I need to do as a man of God, as a Christian, if I get applause or not. You got to do what you need to do as a man of God, a woman of God, as a Christian, whether you get applause or not, because we're going to answer to God, our true Father. Right. And we got to stand before him. So, you know, I want to take this time out again to applaud all the men striving to be righteous. Yeah. Brothers striving to do the right thing. And we are excited, man, to see men just become Christians. We are excited to see young men to mature in the church, to start hitting their 30s. Come on now. It's coming. As long as you're breathing, it's on the way. It's not a bad, yeah, like, do I look like the Crypt Keeper? I mean, what's going on? Yeah, like,
Y'all act like aging is a curse. I mean, come on.
My wife is celebrating her birthday today. She still looks great. She looks beautiful. 20 what? Keep on adding. But the thing about it, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for us as Christians. And I'm looking at future daddies. You told me you want to be a daddy. Huh? Of six? You and Joy got some stuff to work out, but I am not getting involved in that. That's between you and Jordan. Brother, try one first. That's how you do with one. But it's so inspiring just to see guys who are eventually going to grow up and mature and become dads and raise their families. And, you know, I remember it wasn't that long ago. I remember being 21. It's like it was yesterday. It just goes by. They're right, Chisholm. You remember that? Didn't it go fast? It went fast, right? Yeah, it's like you look up one day, it's like you have children, and we're thankful for our children. I get to be the father of a beautiful daughter and a great son. And, you know, it's you look back. But then he walks in the room. I remember when I was him. It goes by fast. Now, when you got toddlers, it drags. It drags because they got to be fed. And you got to wash their clothes. Then they want to talk to you, and they want to have conversations, and they want to ask you questions. And it's like, but why? But why? And they're so smart. They love to ask questions at bedtime. Oh, they just want to learn. No, they're trying to keep you up, because they don't want to go. But, you know, and we can feel, oh, my goodness, will I ever get out of this phase? Yeah. And it goes by fast. And one day you look and you're like, wow, where did the time go? Where did it go? Where did it go? Enjoy it. Isn't that right, Paul? It goes by fast. Especially once you hit the 50 club. Isn't that right, Paul? He stopped, amen. And Paul Vendrees looks 30, but he's really 50, so. I don't understand. Miss Beverly, when did aging become a bad thing? Ooh. And she said her age. Okay. Let's look at this last slide, and I'm going to get out the way here. One thing I want you to understand, if you're young in the faith, or if you're a young adult, young in age, because I think as we age and become older as people, we understand that patience is really a big part of the process. And God has taught me a lot of patience throughout the years, and he's still teaching me more patience. But, you know, it's so funny. When God develops our inner qualities, he's never in a hurry. God is not rushing. He's not on a time clock like we're on a time clock. Some of us, we know what we want to do, accomplish by the time we're 25, by the time we're 30. Boom, 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 boom. We want life to be a certain way. But, you know, really, the way God works, when he's developing deeper character, inner qualities, he's never in a hurry. Can we be at peace with that? Can we understand that those Christian duties that we perform, the times of monotony, when we feel unappreciated, all of that is a part of the process that God designed, because he's preparing us to be more than we ever thought we could be. So as we are in warrior training, let's look at it with a positive mindset. And if you're visiting here today and you're trying to figure out, well, I don't know where I am spiritually, get with someone and read the scriptures. God has a plan for your life. And God is trying to prepare you for when Goliath shows up. Because whether you're a Christian or not, Goliath is showing up.
that moment when it seems overwhelming. How am I going to make it through this storm? It's coming. But the beauty about it, for those of us who are anchored in the Lord, we do all right. We live to tell the story. And it becomes our testimony about how amazing God is. As we take communion, I want us to focus on Jesus. And I want us to think about who Jesus is to us personally, what he means to our lives. And I want us to take this time to just express gratitude to God for sending his son. Let's pray. Father and God, we come before you right now. And God, we want to thank you so much for loving us, God, and blessing us, God. And thank you for sending your son, Jesus. God, we don't deserve grace. We don't deserve mercy. But we're grateful. And we're thankful, God. We're so thankful that you allowed Jesus to set an example of how he endured his moments of solitude, dear God. He waited until he was in his 30s to start his ministry. And I know, God, that other things could have been done, but there's something about us learning to wait on you. I pray as we take this communion that our hearts will be at peace no matter what we're going through right now, dear God. And we will trust that you are in control. Thank you for this bread that represents the body that was broken, God, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was spilled. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.